Welcome to Metaphysical Romp with Reverend Paul Hasselbeck and co-host Reverends Bill Holton and Cher Holton. Discover practical applications to bring 21st century metaphysics to work in your life. Here's your host, Paul Hasselbeck.
Welcome to another edition of Metaphysical Romp 2, MR2, and this is the Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck. I'm delighted to be with you today, and of course, it is another beautiful day in my consciousness, and I'm here with my co-host. Hi, guys. Introduce yourselves.
Hi, this is Reverend Dr. Cher Holton on the Durham, North Carolina side of the virtual kitchen table, and it is another beautiful day in my consciousness.
And this is the Reverend Dr. Bill Holton on the same side of the table here, and it's very definitely another beautiful, beautiful day in my consciousness too. And as you all know, Cher and I are the co-founders of a hybrid unity ministry, an online global unity ministry called the Unity Center for Universal. And that's Y-O-U, because it's about you, universalprosperity.com.
And as I like to say, the shortcut to get there quickly and take advantage of all the resources we have there for you is UCFYP.com.
And we love shortcuts.
Yes, we do.
My website is at paulhasselbeck.com, where you can find my calendar, and you can also find the absolute word, which there's an example of it at the end of this program. And so MR2 is about spirituality, pseudo-spirituality, science, and pseudoscience. And we have some good science for you today as we do part three of designing your life, how to use design thinking to create a happier life for yourself by Bill Burnett. He's in the Life Design Lab at Stanford University along with Dave Evans. Cher, give him a little introduction.
Okay, if you listened before and if you didn't, we encourage you to listen to the last two episodes as well, because that led up to where we're talking today. But what we did is talked about what design thinking is. And interestingly, it's both a process and a mindset. It's a way of looking at things. And these two guys are designers by trade, and they took what they learned in their design life and apply it to real life so people can have a more meaningful life. So far, we've looked at three dysfunctional beliefs, and quickly they were knowing your passion will tell you what you need to do with your life. And dysfunctional belief number two was by the time you're out of college, you should know where you're going. And if you don't know that, you're late. And then there's a third one. You should try to optimize the best possible version of yourself. So if any of those, if you're thinking, well, why would that be dysfunctional as a belief? Just tune into one of our previous podcasts in the last two, because we covered it.
Yeah, and it was right in our wheelhouse with questioning unquestioned answers.
Yes.
Questioning unquestioned beliefs. What was designing your life idea number one, Cher?
So the first, we're going to move into the five ideas that we do want to use. And number one was to connect the dots. And this is the one we talked about last week to some extent, which is looking at who you are, what you believe, and what you do, and bringing those together. We encourage you to check on that and listen to that, because now we want to move into number two.
Yeah. Designing your life idea number two. Recognize your gravity problems.
Don't you love that term, gravity problems?
Yeah. They share there's a class of problems that people can get stuck on, and we call them gravity problems. By that, we mean problems that are just circumstance like gravity. You either can't change these circumstances, or you are not willing to do what it would take. These are problems you cannot change. And oh, have I met people, maybe myself sometime in a former life, that he calls them gravity problems. But this is reminding me of that very basic premise in Unity, that stumbling blocks that appear to be in the outer are primarily in my inner as my thoughts and feelings. So they're really gravitas problems, aren't they? Give our thoughts and feelings more importance than we should and stop ourselves.
Right. And I want to again refer our listeners back to a previous program where we talked about what we called the ACDC model, because it really related to this particular topic where you either decide to do something and change it, or you accept it and come up with how are you going to cope with it? What are you going to do? And I think that's really what he's talking about here. Because he does say once you've accepted that you have a gravity problem and you can't change it, then you have to decide what is it you want to do? How can you, and I love this word, reframe. Looking at reframing.
It actually, when you think about it, what we're talking about in terms of the gravity problem is what came to my mind was black holes in the interstellar universe. Boy, once you get into a black hole, you cannot get out of it.
And people in life sometimes feel they're stuck in one, don't they?
I certainly do. I like the idea of reframing, of course. And I also like the idea of what I say, if you can't change it, you can change your mind about it, which is really just another way of saying reframing, isn't it? Yes. And I'm sitting here and I'm trying to think of something I reframed and I can't. Do you have an example, Bill or Cher?
I think a lot of times it's around the work you have to do. Let me give you an example. Suppose you have to do something that is just the one part of your work that you don't like, you don't enjoy. It's just something, I don't want to do this. And you get yourself all stressed and upset about it. And the way I like to look at it is, okay, do I have to do it? The answer is yes. How can I approach it with joy? And one of the things I will do is look at, okay, what can I give myself as a reward once I finish it?
There you go.
Keeping my intention on the reward, I can work myself through it. And I do it. I think that whole idea of do it with joy is really important.
It really is important. And now that did refresh my memory a little bit, because when there's something new that I haven't done before, I make it up in my mind that it's a much bigger deal than it really is. And it's that creating a gravitas around it instead of just moving through it.
One more example is the weather, because we can't do anything about the weather. And people stress over, gosh, we've got this vacation and they're calling for rain and it's going to be awful and miserable and all this stuff. And they make themselves so upset. And our philosophy has always been, weather will never affect our joy at a vacation.
There you go.
We find what we're going to do and we do whatever we want to do, or we change what we're doing, but we never let the weather have that impact on us.
Yeah. And no matter where you are, no matter where I am, there is something to do on the inside someplace that I've never done before and never seen before. And that's exciting to me.
You may end up going to something that you hadn't planned to do that would be great.
Absolutely.
You know, and it's like Paul said, when you think about the gravitas, I should say, in addition to reframing, think about refraining from staying in the gravitas.
Yes.
Oh, nice.
Very good. Really, really good. Let's move on to designing your life idea number three. Brainstorm your possible futures and make three Odyssey plans. Now, this was a mind-blown experience for me. Yeah.
Yeah, this was great, because what he's talking about here is, this is really Bill loves this stuff.
Bill should be saying this one.
He said, imagine that you could live in different multiverses simultaneously.
And which Bill believes we do. So there you go.
Well, you know, really, and one of the reasons I believe we do, folks, is here on planet Earth, in a particular dimension we're in right now, when you have a radio, there are different frequencies existing all at the same time. You may tune into one of them, but they're all there.
And you can switch.
And you can switch.
Back and forth.
And I do.
Yeah. So this is their experiment, or the way to play with this concept, is to ask yourself, if you could have, you know, all the different multiverse lives that you wanted, how many would you want to have? And then what would they look like? So that's the first part of this experiment on designing your life number three, is first of all, think about how many different lives would you want? Because, you know, how many could you manage?
Exactly.
On second thought, I think that's where our dreams come from, are the other versions of us and the other dimensions that are messages to us. They're like neuroverse faxes that we get. from our other selves.
That's
there
cool.
You go.
I like that.
I like that. Yeah.
I do. What they have you do then is start with three ideas and brainstorm from there, and you get a much richer and wider range of ideas. He has people examining three completely different lives. So here's your challenge or adventure is three completely different lives. Life number one is the life and job that you're currently living, but how could you make it better?
Yeah, good idea, right?
And that goes back to reframing in a way.
It does. So,
you know, all the different things that you could do with your current life.
And life number two they're suggesting is just pretend that your job doesn't exist anymore. And when you do that, then ask yourself, what are you going to do instead? What will you do if life number one just simply goes away?
I wonder how many listeners have experienced that.
Yeah, especially this last year.
Yeah, because I've experienced several lives going away.
That yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what I found was chilling first, not getting too upset. And I had the luxury to do that because I generally kept a little opportunity fund, we'll call it that. If I lost my job, could I float for a while? And that's what I did. Yeah.
That's brilliant.
What are you going to do instead? What would you do if life number one goes away? And you know what? I bet you there's a lot of people in a life and job they wish would go away.
Right. Yeah. And maybe just opening up to playing with that question will help people leave something they hate or they're not finding meaning in by recognizing, you know what? I'm not chained to this. There are other opportunities there.
And you know, when life number one doesn't exist anymore, it takes us back to the gravity problem, doesn't it?
It does.
You're right.
It does. Absolutely. Yeah. It's certainly a grave problem for some people.
Well, it could be a grave matter, but hope not.
And for life number three.
This is the fun one.
Excuse me?
This is the fun one.
Yes. This is your wild card plan. What would you do if you didn't have to worry about, drum roll.
Money.
Yeah. I've actually played with that a little bit. What would I do? And I keep coming back that I would be doing exactly what I'm doing right now. But that's because we've designed this life, right?
Mm-hmm. However, we love what we do.
I've also learned there's a little trick of my ego that convinces me of things that when they happen, don't happen.
Right. Yeah. I love one other thing he says about this wild card plan. And what would you do if you knew no one would laugh at you?
Wow.
Because I think how much do we not do just because of that fear of looking silly or fear of being ridiculed or fear of giving up that professional image that we have?
Yeah. So that ridicule thing is big. I would put in there, what would you do if you knew people weren't going to shame you for doing it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. There you mm-hmm. go. Yeah. Yeah.
Very good questions. Because, you know, some of the greatest inventors of all time were shamed and laughed at.
They were.
But that didn't stop them. How about Disney?
Yeah, Disney's a good example.
Yeah. I love this idea. And the point of it is to begin to realize what your inner longings are, what's calling you to work for your life. And this helps you then begin to recreate where you are.
And so people might be wondering, well, guys, gals, what does this have to do with metaphysics? This gets down to the nitty gritty that we are all creating our own lives. Yeah. And we're using divine ideas to do it, usually unconsciously. And we're doing it through our thinking and feeling natures, yep. And especially our power of imagination.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So this is really closely related to it.
Yep.
It is. And people might wonder, well, then what do I do? What if that life two or even life three really gets me excited?
Yep.
So they have an idea for you and it comes up with life idea number four.
Here you go.
I love this idea too. In fact, we just gave this advice to one of the mentees that one of our people were mentoring is build some prototypes. because, you know, designers do prototypes all the time.
Yes.
If something's going to work. And what they're talking about is looking for ways to test out some of your new life ideas without having to make a full jump in commitment
right.
to it.
Right. I call it proof of concept.
Ah.
Proof of concept. Yeah. I had this dining room table I really liked, and it had these seats, little round seats that were on arms, and they would swing out so you could sit on it and swing back in, and sweeping underneath it and all that was really cool. And the chairs were never in the way and all of that, but it wasn't comfortable. So I toyed with an idea, and finally I went forward with it with a proof of concept. And that was taking off those wood seats and bolting to that same structure, a wood seat that has a back. So a wooden chair. And I found a really cheap one at a thrift store. I cut off the legs and I bolted it to the table to have a proof of concept. Did it work? And so I sat and used it for about a week before I said, okay, this is a go. Well, lo and behold, I never thought of it. We could do this with our lives.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
That's just fantastic. And people just know that when Paul created the patent for that, he's working on his 10th millionaire status.
You really should create. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Well, I thought of sending the idea to the company. So this is a really interesting quote. And this is a science fiction. Friction.
There's another good word.
Fiction writer William Gibson said this: the future is already here. It's just unevenly distributed. I love that. To discover this future, we prototype. When we say prototyping, we ask the question, what would it be like if I tried this possible future in some small and easy to execute way? Prototypes help you expose your assumptions.
Mm-hmm.
And what we see in our profession is ministers leaving church ministry thinking that it's easy to produce a stream of income. We're all laughing because there's three of us who did this. I was really forced into it in a way, but they have in their mind, they've made up their mind that it'll be easy to present themselves to the world. And we found out it's not, didn't we?
Yeah. And imagine if they had done one of their examples of a prototype, which is to find somebody already doing what you think it is you want to do.
Yes.
And have conversations with them, ask real questions, somebody that will be really honest with you. And that in itself can very often help you. So prototyping becomes a really powerful way. Why don't we real quickly do life idea number 5, choose well. It's
right?
Like you go, duh.
Right. And I love so many of us have FOMO.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Fear of missing out, and we worry. What if I didn't pick the right thing?
Yeah.
Well, if you didn't, you can change your mind.
Right.
You can start all over again with the process.
And I think when we talk about choosing well, going back to the 12 powers, wisdom, understanding, and will.
And
those
will.
Three come together to help you make wise choices and then act on them.
Yeah. And so then love is the driver. Desire is the driver. Yes, indeed. So is this about a good time to pivot?
I would say this is a perfect time.
Okay. So we are going to do what we normally do at the end of our program. We're pivoting to the absolute word, which is based on Sunday messages appearing in the Daily Word, a copyrighted Unity publication, and has been used with permission. And this comes from May 16th, 2021, and it is about one of our 12 powers, strength. My mental and physical strength is founded on the power of strength. My mental and physical strength is founded on my power of strength. If I feel my strength waning during a time of vigorous physical or mental activity, if my get up and go has got up and gone, I remember these inspiring words from the Prayer of Faith by Hannah Moore Kohas. God is my strength, unfeeling quick. The power of strength is the basis of my strength, physical and mental. I can use it an infinite number of times to express a wide range of strength. More than toughness or forcefulness, spiritual strength is quiet fortitude, a rootedness in the inexhaustible wellspring of divine. Today, I release all thought of weakness or impossibility. I feel the power of divine strength flowing through me, invigorating my body and bringing renewed clarity to my thoughts. The strength of God is my strength. My mental and physical strength is founded on the power of strength. And so it is. And thank you, friends, for listening. This is the Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck signing off and also saying goodbye to my co-host. Goodbye, Bill. Goodbye, Cher.
Bye, Paul. And bye to our listeners. We look forward to talking with you again next time. This is Cher Holton checking off.
And as always, it's been our privilege, and we enjoy all of you, and we'll see you next time.